You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 191. And it is another Friday episode. My name is Clark of FiveCardGuys.com and FiveCardGuys on Instagram. Co-hosting with me as usual is John, who is TradeU at Recess on Instagram. Hyung's away on business this week, so filling in for the next couple of episodes is our good friend Will. Welcome back, Will.
Hello, everyone.
He's back. All right. So later in today's episode, I'm going to play a part of a podcast I was a guest on. You might have heard of them already because they own one of the biggest retail hobby stores in the US. I'm talking, of course, about Dave and Adams in Buffalo, New York, just a couple of hours from where we are in Toronto. And they got a podcast / Twitch / YouTube show called The Chase. And I talk about how Five Card Guys got started. I talk about our own podcast, Cards to the Moon, and a bunch of other hobby topics. So please stay tuned for that in just a bit. But right now, off the top, I wanted to quickly touch upon the LeBron and Bronny dual auto card that was recently pulled, I believe in the state of Illinois. The collector who pulled it wanted to stay anonymous, but what I'm kind of surprised about is that, for me anyway, it wasn't pulled by a breaker for once. You know, you always expect these monster cards to be pulled by breakers, but it was just a random guy that walked into his LCS and pulled it. I can only imagine what his reaction was when that happened. Anyway, what are your guys' initial thoughts when you first heard the LeBron / Bronny dual card auto was pulled?
I guess, not trying to be a hater, but it's about time, I guess. That was probably my first
biggest
reaction.
Hater of all time.
Yeah. It is refreshing though to hear, because I didn't realize it was not pulled by a breaker, and because I could have sworn I saw video footage. Was there video or at least somebody holding it up, right?
I think it was the guy who worked or owned the LCS.
Oh, it was pulled at the LCS. Okay, got it.
I believe so. Yeah,
that must have been super cool. I mean, I think this day and age where we have video footage of almost everything that gets pulled. Mm-hmm. So whether there's footage or not of it being pulled, I not hitting on this card, just any card in general, I think it's totally fine. I think it makes for a great story for whoever pulled it. Must have been such a cool and awesome moment. It's what the hobby's all about, right? Everybody complaining about ROI, and it's a real thing, you know, like spending money on hobby boxes, breaks, like it's become less and less of a fun thing in a way for certain people, for a lot of collectors. So to see a true collector going in there buying a hobby box or whatever they bought, jumbo box, and then pulling it on the spot, yeah, that's a cool story. So I'm for it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw the Instagram video where like the guy who's the friend of the guy who pulled it, he posted that video of like, "Hey guys, we found the card. My buddy has it. He didn't want to be revealed, but he opened it up at this card shop, and he's just a lifelong hobbyist," and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw some haterade along with John's haterade towards LeBron.
Uh-oh.
Like, I'm not saying any of this is true, but if I was Fanatics or Tops or whatever, and if I wanted to give the illusion that there is fairness in the market, I would make up the story. I would hire this plant who would make this fake video of like, "Oh yeah, so-and-so got it, but he doesn't want to reveal himself. And it's safely in the hands of a lifelong hobbyist," and all that kind of stuff. And, you know,
wow. Okay.
Have hope, everyone. Have hope, everyone. Buy your boxes from tops.com or from, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, really, I'm just jealous.
Because
how awesome would that be if, you know, we're having like, you know, in our group chat, every once in a while, somebody has a box of something and we just load up like a video chat It's like the saddest thing because it's one of us in the middle of the night after our kids have gone to bed, like quietly ripping a box of the, like four to five of the other guys just watching on video quietly so that they don't wake up their kids. And how awesome would it
No, I was going to say, you know, we've went to Hyung's studio space.
Oh, yeah.
Rip box. And actually, like, and we were in Hyung's old place before, too. And I was going to ask you guys, like, how would you react if you hit a monster car like that? I kind of know Will because I was sitting right beside Will when he opened that Mike Trout on Cardano. But, and Will's reaction is like very like subtle. Guys, I think I got something. You know, and then we would look, and then everyone else is like screaming. You know,
that is totally my style of how I would never yell or scream or be like, yeah. "Let's go!" Like, it's just not all the breakers, not in me. Yeah. I would be very quiet about it, very reserved. But yeah, I'd be super excited. So I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous of this guy.
I like that conspiracy theory, though. Watch us like. Just the Google that guy who we're talking about, the owner of this LCS.
Yeah, he's not a real person.
We find out that LCS doesn't exist. Yeah. It's like just a plant, like you said.
It was going to be a conspiracy theory regardless. If it was a breaker, conspiracy theory. If it's an LCS, conspiracy theory.
Right.
Yeah. No matter what.
You can't win if you're Fanatics. Another question I want to ask as a follow-up. I think we asked this before when we were talking about the Bronny LeBron card, but how much do you think it's going to be worth, right? Like, it's hard to say, of course, but, you know, now, I don't know if you saw the ESPN projections for the upcoming 2024 draft, and Bronny on their list, it looks like they think that he's going to go undrafted this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge surprise either, because his dad is the goat, you know, arguably the goat for a lot of players, but
careful, Clark. John almost disconnected
on purpose.
Hey man, I remember when I think we were talking about Bronny a while ago, and I was saying I don't know if he's a first rounder or something, and everyone was like, whoa, I don't know about that. And I was like, okay, well, not to say that I'm right or anything, because, you know, he's a freshman. You know, like a lot of, if you're not like a top 10 consensus like recruit coming out of high school, like you're not going to get any time in the college space. So he is getting the appropriate amount of time. So it is what it is. That's the stats you're going to produce. But I mean, I think going back to the card, what was the question? Like about the value, right?
Yeah, or you know what, even, I don't know if guessing a value is of value to anyone really, because it's just a number, but if you had it, would you sell right away or would you hold?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I'm selling it right away, for sure. Because like, me personally, and again, not hating on Bronny, like I do hope he makes it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think he would be, if he develops into like a really good pro player, I think he would be fun to watch. But there's just too much risk at this point. Like he hasn't, even at the high school level, he hasn't shown the, you know, like that he's a complete prodigy or like a phenom, right? He's been a really good player. And then now at the college level, let's hope it turns out that way. So why take that risk? I think there's a very small chance he becomes a stud in the NBA. So for me, unless you're a huge LeBron guy, then this is a super cool thing. The fact that you have LeBron's auto on a new product that's not Upper Deck, and then you have his son. Like, that is a cool personal collection type of piece. But if you're the three of us, you know, no huge LeBron PC, you have to sell that right away.
What do you think, Will?
Yeah, my instant reaction is to sell it immediately because, you know, products are always like the price is always the highest right at release or right when it's still like a hot topic.
The hype, yep.
And yeah, like what John's saying is true. Like you might end up with, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time with one of the most undrafted college guy. Like it's a nothing guy, right? I mean, it is his son, so it's cool, but he might be a complete dud in the league. So you're, you know, we always joke about those dual autos where it's like Ichiro, or no, who is it? It's like
Andrew Bynum Kobe.
Andrew Bynum Kobe, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
You might end up with one of those.
Yeah.
So you don't want to risk it. But I feel like with this card, there's going to be some big, big whales chasing after it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like recently I've been watching Steve Aoki's like Instagram feed. And he's just like showing like all his cards. And some of them are just like, they're monster cards. Like he's collecting the Star Wars set in PSA 10.
Yeah.
And like, if you look, he's like, he doesn't care. He has all the money in the world. So if you're wondering like who's holding up these insane values for cards, it's these monster whales that are chasing monster cards. And so maybe you hold it for a little while. You kind of test the waters. You see if there's like any crazy super fans of LeBron, or maybe LeBron himself wants to have the card. Right? You just.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
DMs are open for LeBron, and so like, hey, I know you're trying to win a championship, but would you be interested in this one of one card? Yeah. So maybe you hold it for a while, and you make the demand go high.
Ooh, interesting thought. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do when I get it. Oh no, wait, it's already been pulled. Oh no, wait, we don't know. It could be fake.
Anyway, I think we need more whales in the hobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we just need more whales to come into the hobby, and you know, one of these days when we pull a monster card, like the majority would never buy the price that we're looking for. But all you need is one whale to say, "Hey, I'll take it off you." Yep. It's nothing to them, right? So, you know, I don't know why people are hating on the whales. You know, like it's their money; let them spend it the way they want.
Yeah,
and it's a great hobby story. That's all I'm saying. All right. Okay. Well, with that, let's play the clip of the Chase podcast where I was happy to be part of. And I hope you enjoy the convo as much as I did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But it looks like our guest today is in. We're talking to Clark Kim from Five Card Guys. Mm-hmm. Not Five Guys, Cards. Just want to make that abundantly clear.
Extra fries, though.
He runs an Instagram account with a big following and has his own hobby podcast called Cards to the Moon, where they discuss auctions and... Uh-oh, it froze on Elena. Or it froze on Quim. Oh, no, maybe it didn't. But listen, they talk about auctions and trends in the hobby while also following Pokemon and TCG auctions too. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mr. Clark Kim. Good morning, Clark. How you doing, brother?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going very well.
Yeah, doing very well.
It's going very well for a Monday. You know, as good as you can on a Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I just heard that Taylor Swift is dropping an album. That's a great week.
That is all the coffee we needed for this morning, isn't it? That's all we needed.
Clark, did you learn that here? Did you learn that here first?
I did. Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
People are going to say, where were you when you learned that Taylor Swift is dropping an album this year? And you will be
on the chase. On the chase.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to say.
That's awesome. So... Clark, how long you been at it, man? Like, how long you been doing the damn thing in terms of just maybe collecting in general, and then we'll get to what you do now.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, you probably heard this story a million times. We grew up collecting sports cards, and, you know, as a kid, thought I'd become rich off of sports cards, and then, you know, my Todd Van Poppel baseball rookie cards didn't amount to much. And then, you know, we took a long break. When we realized that fact that we weren't going to become rich, we had to get real jobs. And then, you know, right before the pandemic, I know a lot of people came back during the pandemic, but I found a blog just randomly on sports cards. And, you know, nostalgia hit just right away. So this is like a year or two before the pandemic. And then, you know, me and four other friends, so there was five of us, that's hence the name Five Card Guys. And it was funny. You mentioned Five Guys. My friend thought of the name Five Card Guys because he thought it would be funny because it's so close to Five Guys burgers, which we have. And we're like, we couldn't think of anything better. So let's go with Five Card Guys. And then we just started a blog or a website just to write about sports cards because we're just getting back into it. And then, as you know, the pandemic blew up everything.
Yeah.
I started an Instagram account where I just started to post cards that I owned. And then when I ran out of cards that I owned, I started posting cards of other auctions out there that I wish I had. And then that's how it's kind of grew over the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can relate, like, just like pretty much everyone else. That's when I first started getting into breaks and everything again. And, you know, I right. still don't have all the cards from when I was younger. They're in my attic somewhere. Do you have those cards from when you were younger, too, just like everyone else that, you know, you can't find or maybe you wish you took better care of them?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, but a lot of the cards that I did have, like I grew up in the junk wax era, right?
Sure,
so
yeah.
They're not worth much, but like they have personal value. Like I have a Mookie Wilson autograph card, like an IP auto when I was a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
And I still have that. Yeah. So it's probably worth a buck, but it's a lot of personal value to me. But yeah, it's somewhere, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more in my parents' garage somewhere that I haven't seen in years and years. But for sure, I've had those around.
Now let's talk about Five Card Guys for sure. I mean, right off the bat, you know, when people come to your page, what do you feel like they're going to see? You know, what would you say that you are doing on that page when collectors come and check it out?
Yeah, sure. So it started off, like I said, off the top of this segment, just showcasing a lot of these higher end cards, you know, the cards that I wish I had. And then, you know, I'm on eBay all the time, right? eBay watch list. I have a ton of cards there. I don't buy 99% of them, but you know, just in case I find a good deal, I'll pull the trigger. But then, you know, like I thought like, oh, other people might want to see what auctions are coming up that are ending daily. So I started doing that on literally on a daily basis. And then, you know, during the pandemic, everything just kind of the following grew because a lot of people came into the hobby. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to start early, like I said, a year or two before. And people were just kind of coming onto the page looking for auction. And now I'm getting DMs every once in a while from high-end sellers wanting to promote their card. And I don't take any money from posting the cards. So I say, you know, I just post whatever I find interesting. Like I don't take requests at this point. But you know, I occasionally get that DM saying, hey, can you put my card? The auction's going to end soon, you know, so like if you come onto the Five Card Guys Instagram page, that's what you'll see. You'll see a lot of high end daily auction cards. And then, you kind of mentioned it too. We have, our own podcast called Cards to the Moon, which I host with two of my other friends. And, we put clips of that weekly podcast on that page as well, where we talk about hobby news. My background is, I was a journalist for about 15 years. And, so news, writing news stories, covering news is come secondhand to me. So it's kind of, easy for me to just talk about news in general, but now I get to talk about hobby news, you know, and there's a lot going on in the hobby, right? What did Michael Rubin say this time, you know, and you know, like what's Fanatic Live up to, And, you know, we just give our take on it. And people like hearing what we have to say. So yeah, really been blessed by that for sure.
And you know, speaking of Fanatics and all that, and you know, the journalism and the hobby, because I feel like that's somewhat you know what we're trying to do as well. And it seems like there's a lot of people in the hobby trying to be journalists out there. But I think it's interesting too, from when you got back into it right before the pandemic to where it is now, in terms of the journalistic side of things, you know. Do you remember being able to get easy access to information or, you know, things like checklists or even just like, hey, getting a preview of something that hasn't been released yet, maybe, or kind of being able to break news and where it is now?
Oh, it's night and day, right? Like when we got back into the hobby, it was maybe Beckett.com and their website was pretty clunky, you know, and what's the other one? Cardboard Connection was another website I went to a lot, right? So those are my go-to. But now it's like, you know, choose whatever you like. You know, search on Google and like checklists here and there. Pops has, you know, actually start to update their website now that people are coming back into the hobby. Mm-hmm. So all these legacy companies are getting it finally, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of the information out there, there's a ton, right? And you could go on social media, Instagram accounts. There's so many card accounts there too. And just like, you know, no shortage of card content right now. So it's good in a way, but now that there's so much, you gotta definitely start to filter some of these things too.
Yeah. And that was actually going to be my point too, is there, like I said, there's a lot of people who probably think mm-hmm. they're hobby journalists or, you know.
Oh, right, right.
You mm-hmm. know, so I guess what's your take on that in terms of what some people may deem as breaking news or what some people may just deem as trying to be hobby news in general? You know, talk about that filtering a little bit and how maybe some collectors who don't have that journalistic background can keep an eye out for different things when they're reading up on stuff.
Sure, sure. I mean, I guess what's similar to news in general and the hobby news, like you got to look at the source, right? Like, are they credible, right? And you got to see how long have they been in the hobby? Are they just like, oh, they created their account a week ago and then now they're giving all these hot takes? Like, are they, you know, do you take them seriously? Probably not, right? And so like you see how long these guys are in the hobby. Have they gone out to show, if you want to know a lot about live shows, how many shows have they gone to? What's their, you know, have they blogged about it before? And, you know, that way you can see like, oh, they're a trusted source. So yeah, definitely there are like a lot of accounts where they like to make a lot of hobby hot takes, which we like to call it on our podcast.
I like that.
And then we like to decipher, you know, which, what we agree with, what's kind of, you know, ridiculous and what's kind of valid. Right. And then, you know, just look, one other thing, you know, when you look at news, just don't look at one source. Go look at multiple sources. See what other people have to say about the same topic. That's why I like your show. That's why I like other people having their own shows, because, you know, everyone has their own opinion. And, you know, some people are louder than others. Usually the negative people are louder than others. Mm-hmm. So you got to like be mindful of that too, right? It's not, 100%. They might be the loudest, but they don't represent, I don't believe, the majority of the hobby in a lot of these cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And you brought up your show, the Cards to the Moon podcast that you do. Took a little bit of, you know, due diligence to take some listening to it. And I like what you guys do. What do you think sets your podcast apart, you know, in such an oversaturated space of podcasting and media? What makes what you guys do different in your eyes?
Yeah, good question. I think one of the things is just consistency, right? Like we've been doing it for almost 4 years now. And, wow. And a lot of people have been, maybe 3 to 4 years, and a lot of people start things, but then they quit things really quickly, you know? And so for us, you know, we just started season 4, of our podcast. So that's one thing where every Tuesday we have a new episode, and then we added every other Friday show. So we haven't missed a week yet. So that's one thing. And like I said, I think, the format of our show is different from others. Like I know you had our hobby friend Mac and Raul Stock and Trade on the show as well.
Oh yeah.
And they've been guests on our show. Our first guest on our show was Chris Costa. I saw that you guys had him as well. So shout out to Card Vault. So like just connecting with other people in the hobby is kind of cool. Like we have interviews, but a lot of our weekly shows is really based on hobby news and our take on it. And I think it probably comes back from me being a journalist, you mm-hmm. know, just being naturally interested in what's going on in the hobby right now. And what can we, do we have anything to say about it? Do we have any takes? And you know, it's like I co-hosted with two other friends, Hyung and John, and we've been talking about sports cards just, you know, off the air, like in our WhatsApp chat groups, and we're like, we should just record what we're talking about because we're talking about it anyways, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the main format of the podcast. And then at the end, we do some fun stuff, like we have a regular pick one segment where we each of us choose two cards and we're like, which one would you rather have? Which one would you rather invest in? And then we just debate about those things. Then, you know, sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we think the other person's crazy, but that's all part of the fun in debating which sports cards we like and don't like.
Yeah. More times than not, you think the other person's crazy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In my like history of podcasting, there have been multiple times where like, you know, people hop into the StreamYard or the Zoom chat or whatever you're doing.
Yep.
And then, you know, you immediately regret like, wait, why didn't we just like hit record from the beginning here? Yeah. Have there ever been moments where you're like, wait, okay, stop this right now. Let's bring that back up later. Or, you know, like you're worried that it might not come off as, you know, as genuine or funny the first time, like those little moments, you know, before you start recording.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, like even those times where we're like, okay, let's remember that for the next episode. And then we kind of forget the vibe of it during the time. And then it just doesn't sound natural. And then we're like, ah, let's scrap it. Let's talk about something else. But yeah, to your point, we're always, I think, you know, especially the friends that I have in the hobby right now, we're still in it. We're in it for the long haul. A lot of people have dropped off. You know, that's kind of, you know, the hobby hype in 2021. That was to be expected when things kind of simmered down. But the ones that are still in it, we still talk about the hobby all the time. So there are, but then, you know, there are moments where we start talking about things. We're like, oh, this would be a fun segment to do. Let's do that on the next one. And then it comes organically then as well. So yeah, no shortage of hobby content to talk about. So yeah.
And how does it feel for you, Clark, in terms of having this avenue and this platform to be able to share your thoughts and get your feelings on certain topics in the hobby out there and being able to, you know, give the masses this content and kind of let them form their own opinion as well?
Yeah, no, I love it because I think at the end of the day, if you want to grow the hobby, you want people to engage in your content and all different kinds of content, mm-hmm. right? And I think we've been pretty blessed by having a certain following. I think we're almost at probably 2,000 pod subscribers. Awesome. And that was just about doing it consistently. It's, you know, and I think people like the reliability, like they know that every Tuesday we get a lot of messages like, hey, we love listening to your podcast on our commute. I'm sure you guys get the similar, messages back. And with podcast, I'm a big podcast listener, like not just sports card, but other podcasts as well.
Yeah.
It's just part of our routine, right? Like, we feel like we know the host of the podcast we listen to. Right. And, it's brings some kind of, I guess, comfort, but like, just to be able to share that message and to hear people engage in it and we always encourage like, hey, reply if you agree or disagree. We just want to hear from you, you know, and the fact that some of our subscribers and followers do that, it's kind of amazing to see that. Oh yeah, this is a good reminder that the hobby is still alive in that way, that people are out there, not just passively taking the content, but like have something to say about what you're putting out there. So that's kind of cool for sure.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, creating the dialogue and, you know, it's a two-way street, you know, the listener
100%.
And the creator. From like, you know, your journalistic background, you like creating it, you like consuming it and, you know, dissecting it. Out of everything, it's been an eventful past, you know, year for the hobby. What's the most intriguing development or piece of news in your eyes? Like, what are you most excited to talk about on your show?
A lot of our dialogue these days is definitely Fanatics Live, just what they're doing, right? They're just a monster in the hobby space now. And you know, now, Jeff Wilson with his Cards HQ, that's kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind making a trek to Atlanta to check out their store.
Yeah.
But I think on the industry level is what interests us the most, because I think that's, at least in our opinion, will have the most potential positive impact to grow the hobby. And we say all that, we hear the people that are just not fans of Michael Rubin and not fans of like industry growth. I don't know why, but like, you know, they like it like the old school way.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if you guys have been to the Sports Card Expo here in Toronto. We got those, legacy booths there that just are happy with their small space and there's, you know, same inventory that they shell out every show every year. But, like I'm excited more about like seeing more players to the, you know, in the space. And I think more, I don't know if corporate's a dirty word for some people, but a more corporate presence in the hobby. I think it's all good. Like I love seeing that. And we love talking about what, you know, they bring a lot of money to the space too, to grow the industry. So, we love to talk about that. And not all of them are going to be successes. Like there's, you know, we on our podcast talk about the Taco Fractor, how that was such a, semi-disaster.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they got a lot of marketing from it, so I guess it was a success. But you know, there's hit and misses like anything when you try anything new. But just kind of seeing how the industry is growing generally speaking, that's kind of like the more exciting thing right now, at least in my view.
And I tell you what's funny, Clark, is you mentioned the old grizzled brothers that are setting up at the Toronto Sport Card Expo. And I'll tell you what, I know exactly the tables you were talking about right there. I know those booths. I'll look up and I go, I'm just going to go to the next one.
Yeah, me too.
There's no trying to deal here. You know,
No, there's none of that.
No, so.
You can't. Yeah.
Too funny. So you know what? Honestly, talk about a bit about that. Since you brought up the Toronto Sport Card Expo, I think it's a show that a lot more people need to know about. And realistically, in my opinion, in terms of shows, it's basically the national of Canada. That's in my opinion. But
yeah,
for you, from all facets in which you enjoy the hobby, just talk about how you've seen that show grow over even the last year and a half, because I think it's undergone some drastic changes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely see some growth. Like a lot of people, a lot of younger kids, definitely than before, you know, even in the last 3-4 years that we've been going to the Sports Card Expo. We're joking about the old grizzle guys with their booth, but there are definitely new booths as well, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Selling different kinds of cards too. You know, you see your F1s, you see your soccer cards. And we joke about this too. I'm Canadian, so I love hockey. Okay, it's in our blood, right?
Exactly.
But baseball is my primary sport. I love baseball. Like I'm repping the Blue Jays here.
Oh, yeah.
And the Sports Card Expo. One thing is you're seeing more of the I would say the American influence too. Like you're not just seeing hockey cards. Like it's still primarily hockey. If you're into hockey cards, you need to come to the Sports Card Expo because it's primarily hockey cards still. Obviously, being a Canadian expo, but then you're seeing more of other sports as well, which is cool to see. Like I know, there was maybe 2-3 good baseball card booths that I used to go to. Now there's, double digits for sure. And so it's good to see the variety. And then, I don't know if it's because of the growth of the hobby, but, every expo has like, autograph sessions. So you're seeing more of the, retired folks and even current players, coming to the expo to give out autographs that you might have not seen maybe 10, 15 years ago. So yeah, definitely see some growth.
Mm-hmm. Now, sorry.
No, go ahead.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah,
a little bit of a follow-up in terms of we talk about hockey. You know, we're pretty big on hockey here in Buffalo too. I know you're probably aware of that.
Sure.
As much as we can be,
you know.
But I think it's interesting that hockey, I feel like the hobby portion of the hockey needs a little help and it needs a little growth.
Mm.
I'm just curious what your thoughts are on the state of the hockey hobby and where you think it may go now that you have a bona fide, star in the making in Connor Bedard to actually like chase and collect.
Sure. I think we talked about this too. Like it's really Upper Deck, right? Like they're the ones that make predominantly the most hockey cards. And I think there needs to be maybe a little bit more innovation from them, like we joke about like, just give us a refractor or give us like a nice parallel to chase, not just these base cards. And so there, that could help in terms of, getting more people interested in hockey. But yeah, I think, the young superstars will help too. Like Bedard's amazing, right?
Yeah,
like, McDavid, I think he's underrated in the hobby. Like, I think, as much as, I know some of his rookie auto cards are expensive, but for who we believe he can be, I think you get him at good prices now too. And so I think, as the growth of hockey as a sport grows, especially in the States, I think, we go as the American collectors do. Like, once hockey cards becomes bigger there, I think that's the key to see hockey cards grow. Like, it's already big in Canada, so we just need more of our, you guys being from Buffalo, of course, you guys have the hockey team there with the Sabres, but it's harder to grow when the weather is a lot warmer down south than you have other sports to compete with, right? But yeah. Our podcast friend Jeremy Lee, he's pretty bullish on hockey cards as well. So, I always defer to him to learn more about hockey cards myself as well. But yeah, So bullish for yeah, sure.
We definitely need some people championing the yes. hockey hobby like yourself, Jeremy. So, oh yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, no, and speaking of you as like a personal champion for the hockey portion of the hobby, in your personal collection, like your top, you know, okay. your holy grail that you have, is it a hockey card? Is it, you know, you're wearing the Blue Jays hat, like you said, is it something yeah. like that? Like, you know, I want to know, and I'm sure some of the viewers would also like to know, in your personal collection, what do you value the most that you got?
Yeah, I was anticipating this question, so I brought a couple of cards.
Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah.
Always ready.
You know, hey, I'm a podcast host too, so I kind of know what's up, but I appreciate what you guys do. So I, you know, with the hobby market being down, we always say this is a grail hunting season. You know, like the cards that cost $25,000, $30,000 during 2021 are about $4,000 or $5,000. So I got this Mike Trout. Where's the camera here? Chris Bowman here.
Wow. That's a beauty.
So for about $4,000. So like a fraction of the price. And the latest one I picked up was like, you know, I like collecting guys that have high potential. Luka Doncic, the blue contender.
Of course. Wow. Steve would be happy about that one.
Love Luka. But yeah, I guess to answer your question, it's mostly still baseball and basketball versus hockey. And I think it goes back to the what you were asking before, right? Like the lack of innovation, like, you know, in terms of like, you know, these are nice on card autos and I love the numbered I'm a sucker for color match cards too.
Oh my god. So okay, nice.
You guys, Buffalo Bills, you know, the blue refractor. Ooh. Blue Jays, the blue refractor. I love the blue refractor.
Clean.
So
we're
lucky to live in a city that has blue as a primary team color.
Agreed.
So
now last little thing I had for you here, because of how I know you guys are on your podcast and discussing things. You just brought up that first Bowman Mike Trout, and it reminded me that, I don't know if you caught this, but on Twitter, we're going to talk about this a little later in the show, but I want to get your opinion as well. Brian Gray tweeted out his feelings on Mike Trout in terms of hobby value, and he made it pretty evident that he thinks that, you know, Trout's basically overrated in the hobby. So, you know, you just picking that up for $4,000 right there, first Bowman for the PC. What do you say to that? He was kind of looking for people to give him a little bit of feedback, you know, so.
Oh, man. It's not a hot take because people have been saying that for a while now, you know, Mike Trout being over it. And it's primarily because he's injured, but I'm still convinced if he could have one, like, healthy season, people are going to be reminded right away why Mike Trout is a generational player. He just needs to be healthy. I believe he can be healthy. You know, he's in his 30s now, but he's not, you know, that old where he can't still contribute as a number one guy on the team. He'll still, especially with Shohei gone, but Mike Trout will be the guy for the Angels. And I'm a big believer still, you know, and I said the same with Shohei. Like my biggest regret in the hobby, well, you know, in terms of flipping, was I picked up a Shohei Topps Chrome rookie auto for $500, BGS 9.5. And I'm like, and then that was during when he was injured that one season. And I'm like, oh man, you know, like, can he pitch and bat? Like, can he stay healthy? So I flipped it for, you know, a Vladdy Guerrero, you know, and maybe it was a homer in me that wanted the autograph. But obviously I lost that trade because now that rookie top scrum on of Shohei after he stayed healthy for the next two seasons and he had MVP season is worth thousands of dollars. And that's, I kind of feel the same way about Mike Trout, you know, like he just needs to be healthy. And if he's healthy, he's going to perform on the field. So I'll heartily disagree with Brian Gray's take on Mike Trout.
Okay. Fair enough. Wait, did you have anything else?
I think I'm good on questions here. I'm wondering, do you have any questions for us? Visitor of the program, podcaster, journalist, anything you'd like to ask Troy or myself?
Yeah, no, I'm you know, again, I don't know if it's a question, but I've been watching your show, The Chase, and I love your, like, just the look of the show.
Thank you.
Obviously very professional. My lighting here is just the one light in my office here, but you guys, it's obvious that you guys have a good setup. But I like to ask this to all our guests as well, like, what do you guys think in the next 5 years where the hobby is going to be, like, in terms of what it's going to look like, in terms of growth or you know, where it's trending?
I mean, personally, I think everybody is overreacting. I think people freak out a lot, right? And I think that's just the world we live in today. Maybe it's not just sports cards. It's just the world we live in terms of social media. We talk about all that. You can be a keyboard warrior. You can write whatever you want. But I mean, personally, we still have big shows like the National. We still have big shows like Toronto. Fanatics is obviously taking over the world. They're getting into their events they're going to do in 2024. But I mean, you look at this, I see people that I follow on Twitter or Instagram, and these small shows, people are there. They're packing these small shows. So why wouldn't they go to the big shows? I think it's right where it needs to be. And I think the Fanatics Tops marketing has been really great with some of the past stuff.
Amazing.
Like you said, the Taco Fractor, but the Wemby, you know, getting to meet him if you had the opportunity to get the card.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Obviously what they're doing with Fanatics Live, like the 10, you know, they're giving people an opportunity. Yes, yes, they're spending their hard-earned money, but if you hit that, you're going to be handsomely rewarded.
For sure.
So, I mean, I definitely think it's trending in the right direction. It's going to be trial and error. There's obviously going to be bumps in the road.
Of course.
But I don't think it's more mainstream than it ever was. You know, like we're all making you know, as much as it is a hobby and we're having fun doing it, we still are technically making a living doing it as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, being afforded that opportunity, I think we're right where we need to be. And I think it's going to just continue to progress in the right direction.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you there. And it's kind of on a note of, one, what you touched on with the local stores packing out their personal, you know, their trade nights and everything like that. But also what you mentioned about, you know, all the kids running around at the Toronto Expo, like at the National. You know, I'm there breaking cards with Steve last year, and we're just having kids stop and watch us do it nonstop. And they are they're in awe and they're excited, and you can see the look in their eyes. One of our listeners, shout out Dooley, was out there handing out cards to these kids, gave one of them a Shohei Ohtani rookie, and you would have thought that the kid just won $1 million. Like, I'd never seen someone so excited.
And
then the same thing earlier or late last year, a local store opened up right around the corner from my house. I stopped by the one day, didn't know they were having a trade night, packed with like 50 kids and their parents. So I think that, you know, it's all on, just like a lot of things, it's on the next generation. And I think we're leaving it in a very good spot for the people below us. So,
yeah, totally agree. Well, I mean, I have a 6-year-old son. He's into baseball cards and Pokemon cards. So, yeah, I'm training him to be a collector as well. So, yeah, we're in good hands.
Love it. Well, hey, Clark, thank you so much for your time. This has been a blast, and we would love to have you back on the show. That's for sure. We know you will definitely not be a one-time only guest.
Future recurring guest.
Future recurring guest. You'll get that. We'll get you the Green Masters jacket when you start hitting the multiple.
Can't wait to get it.
Last thing we like to do for every one of our guests that join us on the show is, please just once again, roll out where people can find the podcast, where they can find you on social media, your website, and kind of what you are providing with all that stuff.
I appreciate that. Just first, thank you guys for having me on the show. It's been an amazing time for sure, chatting sports cards. Love doing that with you guys. But yeah, you can find me at Five Card Guys on pretty much any social media channel. There you go. The Instagram account, probably the most popular account that we have, at Five Card Guys. We have a TikTok account too, and we're slowly getting to YouTube. Joining you guys as well with some of our content, and a lot of it is auctions, but a lot of it also is I'm a math geek, so I like to display you know, how the trends have been going in terms of value. So I've been doing a lot of these IG reels, TikTok videos about like the, you know, how much it costs 5 years ago to the peak and to where it is now. And you know, for some people it might be a good opportunity to pick one up. There's one right there about Tom Brady. So yeah, so you'll see a lot of kind of interesting, hopefully interesting content like that. And we have our website as well with our regular blog content at fivecardguys.com as well. So yeah. And our podcast, Cards to the Moon. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. There's so many different platforms out there. Amazon Music, I don't know, you know. But yeah, you just search up Cards to the Moon and you'll see our weekly podcast. And hopefully you guys get a chance to tune in.
Awesome, bro. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you again. Clark, have a fantastic rest of the week, and can't wait to see the content you make continuing going forward.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
No problem, brother. Right. We'll see you soon.
See you, buddy.
Cheers.
See ya. Bye.
There you go, Clark. Good guy, Clark. Yeah, I like Clark.
Good guy,
a lot.
Clark. Yeah.
Good insight on the hobby.
Genuine excitement. You love to see that in the guest and yeah, everyone for sure. In the hobby, you know?
So he's definitely going to be worth another comeback here on the.
I would say so. How do you think he'll handle the gremlin around here?
Oh yeah, that's true. He didn't get the full experience.
Exactly. So he's actually required to come back.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at @5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.